King Saul saves a city.
Now God had said to Samuel,
"Here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall rule my people."
"With this oil and at the direction of God, I anoint you, Saul, son of Kish, as the Lord's chosen king of Israel."
But the anointing of Saul as king had been done in secret. God's choice of a king had not been made known to the nation. When the time had finally come, Samuel sent messengers into all Israel, saying,
"Hear ye, hear ye! Samuel, priest, judge, and prophet of God, herewith requests that all the children of Israel gather at Mizpah to choose a king. The Lord God of Israel demands your presence."
"You have been summoned to Mizpah to hear the will of God, who has graciously granted your request for a king. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes, for God himself shall choose a king from among you."
Prayer was offered for divine guidance. Then followed the solemn ceremony of casting the lot. By this method, God would now indicate to all the people his divine choice of a leader for them. In silence, the assembled multitude awaited the outcome. First, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen from among the 12 tribes. Then the lot was cast for a family of that tribe. Finally, the lot was cast for the member of that family who was to be their king. The lot fell upon Saul. But Saul was nowhere to be found.
"O God, Lord of heaven and earth, if it be thy will that Saul, the son of Kish, be king of Israel, reveal unto us his whereabouts."
"Behold, Saul has hidden himself among the baggage."
"Thank you, Lord. Run quickly and bring him here."
"Yes, your grace."
"And people of Israel, here before me is the man whom God has chosen to be your king. Behold how he stands head and shoulder taller than any of you. There is none like him in all the kingdom. Be it known unto you, people of Israel, that your king is not to be like the kings of the heathen nations. Your king is not to be an absolute monarch, but he is to be in subjection to the will of the Most High God. The manner of the kingdom and the principles of the government."
While most of the people accepted God's choice of Saul for their king, there was a large group that did not.
"I tell you, fellow tribesmen, that Saul is not the right man to be king. I refuse to acknowledge him as king, and I shall do all in my power to see that he does not become king. Even though he was chosen by the casting of lot, I refuse to abide by it. He's a Benjamite. And what is a Benjamite? A small fellow from the smallest of all the tribes. To choose a king from the tribe of Benjamin is to neglect both Judah and Ephraim, the largest and most powerful tribe."
"I agree, gentlemen. In fact, I suggest that we refuse to recognize Saul as king, that we don't even pretend allegiance to him."
Brothers, quiet, please, quiet. "I think that I am as well qualified to be king as anyone in all Israel, and I hereby announce my desire."
Samuel, sir.
Yes, Saul.
Many of the people are opposed to my becoming their king. I hear that some of the tribes are putting up men of their own choosing as candidates for king. And so, sir, I think it would be best if I returned to my usual duties.
You display a very wise and humble spirit, my son.
I shall leave in your capable hands the administration of the government, as you have so faithfully done these many years.
Go and return to your home. In his own way, God shall establish you as his chosen servant to rule.
Master, sir.
Yes?
A young man wishes an audience with you, Master.
An audience?
Yes, Master.
Probably another discontented Ephraimite. Disappointed because he was not chosen king. Well, show him in.
The Master will see you, sir.
Long live the king.
I am not king. I am Saul, son of Kish, a farmer. I happen to have been caught up in a whirl of circumstances that confuse me and have caused distress and trouble among the tribes.
Well, your majesty, there are some of us who believe with all our hearts that you have been chosen of God to be king, king of Israel. And we have sworn allegiance to you and have every intention of sustaining you and your God-given right to the throne, regardless of what some others may think or do.
Well, I'm afraid that you're doomed to disappointment, because I'm going home and once again take up my duties as a tiller of the soil.
We will escort you there, your majesty.
Escort me home? Oh, what for?
You are our king, your majesty, and your safety and well-being is our main concern.
I appreciate all this, and I want to thank your group for their belief in the divine choice and their concern for me, but thanks, I'll get home all right, my servant and I.
Saul, my son, may I voice an opinion?
Oh, yes, your grace.
You, Saul, have been divinely chosen as king. These young men have faith and belief in that choice. Do not take away from them the honor of escorting their king to his home.
I honor and respect your advice, Samuel, and I shall always do your bidding. So if they insist, they may accompany me home.
Thank you, your majesty. We await your command. Long live the king!
Oh, but this plowing is hard work. Well, one more round of the field and we'll quit for the day. Take care of these oxen and be sure to give them plenty of feed. They worked hard.
Yes, Master.
A while ago, as I passed by the city gate, I heard much wailing and weeping. What ails the people that they weep?
Well, there is trouble, Master, among the tribes east of the Jordan River.
Trouble? What sort of trouble?
Today, a messenger came from the city of Jabesh-Gilead. He said that Nahash, the Ammonite king, and his army had invaded and taken all the territory east of the Jordan River, all except the city of Jabesh-Gilead. Nahash and his army are even now awaiting word from the elders of that city. It seems that King Nahash will permit the inhabitants of Jabesh to live only if they agree to become his slaves.
Have they agreed to this?
Oh, no, Master. You see, sir, the king of Ammon insists as a mark of their subjection to him that each and every man, woman, and child of Jabesh have his right eye put out.
Their right eyes gouged out?
Yes, Master.
It's outrageous, unthinkable.
King Nahash gave the Jabeshites just 7 days to make up their minds. If he receives no word by that time, he will carry out his threat.
Oh, he will. He will not. Go quickly and bring me a sharp knife. No, 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 no. I will get it. You gather together several score young men, strong and fleet of foot. Hurry! There is no time to waste.
Master, sir, here are the men you requested.
Men, you have heard of the danger to our fellow tribesmen across the river in Jabesh. Although they have formed a community by themselves and have had nothing to do with our tribes for several generations, we must go to their rescue. Yes, now I see many of you staring with awe and wonderment at this bloody mess.
Yes, your majesty. What is it?
I have just finished hewing my yoke of oxen into small pieces. It is these pieces that you will be concerned with.
We await your orders, Your Majesty.
Speed is of the utmost importance. There are but 6 days left in which to rescue the people of Jabesh Gilead. Somehow we must gather together thousands of young men from the far corners of Israel and march against the Ammonite hordes.
Israel's young men are little prepared for war, Your Majesty.
True, but we have God and decency and right on our side. Now I want you young men to run quickly throughout all the coasts of Israel. Each of you will make known the plight of our fellow Israelites at Jabesh, requesting that all able-bodied men come to Bezek at once to join in the battle against Ammon. You will hold aloft one of these pieces of oxen and say unto them,
therefore, all you men of Israel, look upon this piece of ox I hold in my hand. If ye do not answer the call to arms and join Samuel and Saul in defending the city of Jabesh Gilead against the Ammonites, so shall it be done to your oxen. Report at once to Saul at Bezek.
Now the dread of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out as one man.
Long live the king!
Did you number the men who have reported for duty?
Yes, Your Majesty. There are 300,000 men from Israel and 30,000 from Judah. It would be almost impossible to form so many untrained men into anything resembling an army in so short a time, Your Majesty.
The Lord God is a God of miracles.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Master, there are several men who have just come from Jabesh Gilead and wish an audience with His Majesty.
Show them in.
Yes, Master. You may come in.
You are from Jabesh Gilead?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Has the situation changed?
No, Your Majesty. King Nahash will slay all of our people and burn our city if we do not agree to having our right eyes gouged out.
Return to your elders at once and tell them that help is coming. By sunup tomorrow morning, we will be there and rescue Jabesh Gilead from that heathen, cruel king.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor. Thank you. I'll return immediately with the glad tidings. Long live the king! Long live the king!
Is there anything I can do to help prepare these untrained and unorganized hordes into the semblance of an army, Your Majesty?
Yes, there is. Choose from among your group two men of great faith and courage who have the ability to lead and direct. Then the three of you report back to me.
Yes, sir, Your Majesty.
Long live the king! Long live the king!
When the messenger returned to Jabesh Gilead and told the people all that Saul had said, they were exceedingly glad. And the men of Jabesh Gilead sent a messenger to the wicked king Nahash.
Your Majesty, this man is one of the representatives of Jabesh.
Yes, I remember him. Come forward, slave.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
You have a message from your people?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Your people have given up hope? They are ready to have their right eye put out? Or do they prefer death?
Tomorrow, Your Majesty, all Jabesh Gilead will come out to you and... You shall do as you desire with them.
We'll gouge out your right eyes, just as we said we'd do.
Yes.
It seems strange to me, Your Majesty, that some of the Israelites residing on the other side of the Jordan don't come to the rescue of these besieged Jabeshites.
I'll tell you why they don't. They're fearful of our superior forces. They know they don't have a chance. You!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Return to your people and prepare them for the... the fun of having their right eyes put out tomorrow.
Yes, Your Majesty. Long live the king. Long live the king.
Meanwhile, at Bezek, in the camp of Saul and the 130,000 young Israelites.
Your Majesty, here are the two men of unusual strength, courage, and intelligence you requested.
Greetings, men.
Greetings, Your Majesty.
Encamped outside the city of Jabesh, on the other side of Jordan, is King Nahash and his army. On the morrow, he's either going to destroy every man, woman, and child of Jabesh Gilead and burn their city, or put out the right eye of every one of them and make them his slaves. We are here to prevent this. Jabesh Gilead is only 10 miles away, yet getting there presents some problems. There is the River Jordan to cross. Above all, we must approach the camp of King Nahash without his knowledge, surprise him and his army. For this delicate, difficult operation, I am depending upon you three.
We will do our best,
yes,
Your Majesty.
We will divide our 130,000 men into three companies. Each of you will be in charge of one of those companies. You will approach the Ammonite camp from three different directions. Just at sunup, while the enemy still sleeps, you will attack simultaneously at a given signal from me.
Your Majesty.
Go away, I'm asleep.
But, Your Majesty, there's a battle raging. The enemy has attacked.
Go away, Battle?
The enemy has attacked.
What enemy?
The Israelites.
The Israelites don't have an army. They don't even have a general.
Nevertheless, Your Majesty, they have attacked, and their army is playing havoc with our men. Hear them, sir. They draw near, even in the very center of our camp.
Where are my clothes? Lackey, get my suit of armor.
Yes, sir.
Lackey! Are we going to lose the battle, General?
Well, no, if we don't get to...
Where's my armor-bearer? Armor-bearer! Oh, be careful with that suit of armor. Has anything been done to you all about awakening the soldiers and calling them to battle?
It was all so sudden, sir, that there hasn't been time to
Well, go out there and do something, General. Organize a defense. Chase the enemy away. Kill them. Then go to Jabesh and destroy the people and the city. Immediately. That's an order.
Yes, Your Majesty. Long live the king. Long live the king.
General, come back here. Remain with me. If things go too badly, I'll have to escape the best I can, and I'll need your help and protection.
Yes, Your Majesty.
And the armies of Saul came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and cut down the Ammonites until a heat of day. And those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left together. After the battle, Samuel stood before the children of Israel and said,
People of Israel, God has this day given you a signal victory over the enemy. Can there be any doubt left in the minds of any of you that Saul, son of Kish, is truly the divinely chosen king of Israel? Today, God has performed miracles on our behalf. Today marks the beginning of the reign of Saul as your king. King of Israel! Come, my people. Let us go to Gilgal and there renew the kingdom.
So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings before the Lord. And all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. After Saul had reigned over Israel for a period of time, he chose 3,000 of his best soldiers and sent the rest away, each man to his own home. And of the 3,000 soldiers, 2,000 were with King Saul at Michmash, and 1,000 with Crown Prince Jonathan at Gibeah. Now Jonathan was concerned about the idolatrous Philistines who troubled Israel.
During all the time that Samuel ruled Israel as judge, prophet, and high priest, we lived in peace with the Philistines. Yet they were among us as our overlords, exacting tribute and servitude. I think it is time we put a stop to this.
I doubt, Your Highness, if anyone will argue with you on that point.
My father, the king, is stationed at Gilgal with 2,000 men. Nearby, a matter of only a mile, is a garrison of Philistine soldiers. Undoubtedly, they watch the king's camp, guarding against a surprise attack. But we here at Gibeah are not watched, for we are 5 miles away from the Philistine garrison.
You are thinking, sir, that we could launch a surprise attack?
That is exactly what I'm thinking. The Philistine stronghold is on the south side of a deep and rugged valley or gorge. With swift action and secret movement, we could surprise them. Overcoming the garrison would then be a simple matter.
And Jonathan defeated the garrison, which was at Gibeah. And the Philistines heard of it and were very angry. Word was also taken to Saul at Gilgal.
Your Majesty, may I approach and speak to you about a very important matter?
Of course, Abner. Come forward.
It has come to my attention, Your Majesty,
that the king of the Philistines is furious about the destruction of his garrison at Gibeah.
Well, I don't blame him. I would be too.
But, sir, it means total war against us. The king has called all able-bodied Philistines to join the army. They are at this minute preparing to march against us.
Well, Abner, war with the Philistines had to come sooner or later. Send messengers immediately through all Israel, calling all our able-bodied men to Michmash to prepare to meet the Philistine army.
The Philistines muster to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and troops like the sand of the seashore in multitude. And when the men of Israel saw the huge army of Philistines, they became filled with fear and did hide themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns.
The situation is becoming serious, Your Honor. When shall we attack?
Samuel said he would come here and offer burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Furthermore, he specifically told me I must wait 7 days till he should come and show me what I should do.
The work of seeking God by sacrifice was a most solemn and important work. And God required that the king and the people search their hearts and repent of their sins, that the offering might be made with acceptance before him, and that his blessing might attend their efforts to conquer the enemy. The time for the proving of Saul had come. As the chosen leader and king, he was now to show whether or not he would depend on God and patiently wait. Could God trust him in trying places as the ruler of his people? Would he listen to God's commands and obey them? Would he turn the attention of his faint-hearted soldiers to the God of heaven, who alone could help them? Day after day, Saul tarried, but without doing anything himself to encourage the people and inspire their confidence in God. He became more impatient. Finally, on the 7th day, Saul said,
"Bring me the burnt offerings here to me, and the peace offerings."
Equipped as he was with armor and weapons of war, he approached the altar of God and offered the burnt offerings. By this act, he was really saying that he was both king and a priest. Now, as soon as he had finished with the offerings, behold, Samuel came. When Samuel heard what Saul had done, he said to him,
"You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom, Saul, shall not continue after you. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and has appointed him over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you."
And Samuel departed from Saul. Then great fear fell upon the people.
How many of our soldiers are left, Abner?
About 600, Your Majesty.
There isn't much we can do against the Philistines with only 600 men.
And the Philistines know that, sir. Even today, they sent out 3 companies of men to confiscate food and supplies. What are we going to do?
With only 600 men, there is nothing anyone can do.
But the king was wrong. There was one man among those in camp that could and did do something. And this man said to his armor-bearer,
"Let us go over into the Philistine garrison on the other side of the gorge. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few."
"You need but command, Your Highness. I am with you."
"Good. You and I shall go out of camp secretly, lest my father the king find out about our purpose. We will make our way down the steep cliff to the bottom of the gorge. Then, by using protruding rocks and ridges of the valley, we will pass unheard and unseen to the very foot of the Philistine garrison."
"It will be a dangerous mission, Your Highness, but with care and caution, it can be done."
"When we are safely there, we shall suddenly step out from behind a rock and reveal ourselves to the Philistines."
"And have spears hurled at us?"
"I don't think so. I think they will be so surprised that they will do nothing except perhaps inquire what we're doing so close to their garrison."
"Yes, I agree. Then what, Your Highness?"
"I'll discuss the plan of attack with you when we get there. Are you with me?"
"I am ready, Your Highness."
"Very well. We'll leave camp separately, saunter away as if we had nothing special in mind,
and we'll meet behind that large rock at the edge of the cliff.
Carefully, the two men made their way down to the bottom of the gorge, then silently threaded their way to a position below the Philistine fortress. Hidden behind a protruding rock, they counseled together.
In a moment, we shall step out into full view of the guards up there on the cliff. If they call down to us to remain here until they can come and get us, we shall do just that. But if they say unto us, come up here, then we will go up and it shall be a sign unto us. Are you ready?
Yes, Your Highness.
O Lord God of Israel, be with us as we attempt to save thy people from the savagery of the heathen Philistines. Come, let us step out into full view of the garrison.
I am ready, Your Highness. They see us, Your Highness.
So I notice, and they're astonished, scarcely believing their eyes.
That one, he appears to be a captain. He's about to yell down to us.
You Israelites down there, come up here, and we'll show you the strength of our garrison.